This is the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on www.prn.fm. This radio presentation replays my weekly TV show, Refounding America with Peter R. Breggin, MD, which can be watched on Brighteon.tv, and it's available on Roku. I interview guests who are heroes and pioneers in confronting the global predators who are behind COVID-19 lockdowns and vaccines, corrupt public health and medicine, global warming, the Great Reset, and other justifications for destroying the Western democracies. They are stealing our countries, our freedoms, our dignity and hope, and our jobs and our savings. For documentation of this worldwide tragedy, read our new book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, by Peter and Ginger Breggin. Together, my guests and I explore what is happening and what we each can do to refound America and inspire the world. Thank you for your courage in facing these challenges and standing up for liberty. Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Hello, my wonderful, wonderful audience. Here I am in the spirit of refounding America and the spirit of liberty. And today it's going to be me by myself. There's just a lot of interesting things to talk about, learning more about the global predators. In the first segment, I'm going to go into Joe Biden's recent declaration to American CEOs that he's going to help lead them into the new world order. Joe Biden's own words, you're going to see him on camera. And then in the second segment, we're going to go into the Ukraine, Putin versus Zelensky. What's going on there? What is happening in the Ukraine. What is going on there? We'll take a good look at it. Well, hello. I'm so glad to get started here. How many of you love Jimmy Levy, the singer, the way we do? Well, Jimmy has a wonderful video to introduce this first segment with. Let's cue it up.
And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it. And we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it.
No, you did not just say that. Where's my tinfoil hat?
I mean, that's really good. I'm going to replay it again right in a second so that you can hear the president again, and then we'll look at his comments in more detail and see Jimmy's response. Let's cue it up a second time.
And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. And we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it.
No, you did not just say that. Where's my tinfoil hat?
Thank you, Jimmy Levy. So these remarks were made by President Biden just before the Business Roundtable quarterly meeting. Now, I've got a terrible confession to make. I'm supposed to know a lot about this stuff. I thought, you know, when I heard about the business roundtable, I thought it was probably a Sunday business talk on MSN or CNN or something. Boy, it is a lot more than that, as we'll be finding in a minute. Here is the headline on the White House, and that'll be number three. Let's bring that up and have a look. Remarks by the president for the Business Roundtable CEO quarterly meeting. And let's go ahead now and take a look at what he had to say. And that's number four. Bring that one up. It's a little hard to read. I'll read some of it to you. This comes toward the end of a small, really a small, somewhat informal talk that he's giving. And he says, he talks about various, you know, ups and downs we've been having. And he says, I think this presents us with some significant opportunities to make some real changes. In other words, we'll jump on these crises. You know, we are at an inflection point. That's like a crisis, a turning point. Good word there, Joe. Inflection point. I believe in the world economy, and not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. And then he goes into one of these garbled things about how 60 million people have died between 1990 and 1946. Hard to know what he's talking about. Military people told him. If that's what he thinks the war dead are, 60 million, oh my God. They're way, 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 way beyond that. I mean, Mao killed 100 million people, not counting enemies, during World War II, and Stalin killed about 50 million, and this is outside of the war. Hitler, about 40 million. So, I mean, he's just got no concept of the slaughter that's been going on since the First World War. And then he goes on and he makes this statement, and it is the closing remark. And now is a time when things are shifting. We're going to, there's a pause, there's going to be a new world order out there. You can see those words. And we've got to lead it, and we've got to unite to the rest of the world in doing it. Now notice, it's not capitalized new world order. That he says it like it's the capitalized new world order, but I think purposely on the transcription, they didn't capitalize it. It makes it a little less effective, makes you wonder if he's really talking about the biggest deal of all. Now, this is at the March 21st Business Roundtable. Who are these people? Well, they're an astonishing bunch. I'll tell you a little bit more about them in a minute. But we could ask the question, is this Business Roundtable shocked to hear about the New World Order? Did he make a faux pas, take a big political risk? No. In 1919, the Business Roundtable did a formal statement. By the way, it's a big organization, too. It's not even just a roundtable. In 2019, a lot of work putting all this stuff together for you. In 2019, and what they said is they are changing the priorities of their statements about what business in the U.S. should be about, and that they're going to do away with just talking about, you know, taking care of their own businesses and their stockholders, the people who invest in them. And they're going to go way beyond that, and they're going to quote, commit to meeting the needs of all stakeholders. In other words, the Great Reset. They go on, they mention the environment, they mention the community. It's pretty terse. But people took off with this and explained what this meant. It means, of course, Black Lives Matter. It means gender stuff. It means everything in the progressive agenda. This is America's business people just, you know, lifting their hats and saying, yes, sir, or good morning, this is the new world, to the orders of the progressive establishment, and more importantly, the globally oriented progressive establishment. The woke folks, the mostly capitalistically oriented predators masquerading as woke folk. I've learned from researching that their statement, which is not very complicated, was nonetheless negotiated at Davos, negotiated, that is, with Klaus Schwab, negotiated with the origins of the whole calamitous affair that's been going on under COVID-19, that's been brewing for decades in America, and which Klaus Schwab declared to be the Great Reset in the middle of the summer 2020, in the middle of the pandemic. And he wrote COVID-19 and the Great Reset. Think about it. Our book is COVID-19 and the Global Predators. We are the prey. His book is COVID-19 and the Great Reset. We're talking about the same thing. He calls it the Great Reset. I call the Global Predators. And he, like my book, documents the network of the global predators. I go in a lot deeper and I look at a lot more complexities. Well, thank you for putting up the book. Didn't ask for that. You can get the book, by the way. Ginger will appreciate this. She's the publisher. We're over 90,000 copies sold now. You can get the book online at Amazon, and we've got a very inexpensive edition of the digital version of the book, just $2.99, so anybody can afford it. And if you want to buy direct from us and get the book at a discount, you go to wearethepray.com, wearethepray.com. So we now see that this group of people is working with Klaus Schwab. Who are they? Who are they? Well, the statement that they put out about going woke, never mind just the basic profit-making motive and sound ethics, which is the basis of good business, sound ethics, no fraud, no force, no monopolization. They don't say that. Oh, no. No, they're going to go with the Great Reset, basically, is what they're saying. Well, it was signed by 101 presidents and CEOs of American industry. I mean, think about this. 181. I've not yet been able to figure out whether anybody abstained. I think they have about 181, maybe up to 200 members. But if anybody gets any data on that, you could let us know. But we're looking at it. So let me read you some names. And I started out with the A's, and it turns out there's like 20 or 30 A's, as I remember. So I picked a few for you. Abbott, you heard of that the big company, the drug company? How about Aflac? Quack, quack. Remember Aflac? Amazon, do we know who Amazon is? Who doesn't know who Amazon is and its president and CEO? Now, there's no vice presidents here, folks. There's no media relations guys here around this round table. There's no cousins or substitutes. These are the people he's talking to, Joe Biden, and telling them that America and he and you guys, the companies, are going to lead us into the new world order. American Airlines, American Express, Apple, AT&T. That's like a sample of the A's and the B's. I picked out a couple. Bank of America, Bayer, good old Best Buy. I mean, some of my favorite stores here. And then just skimming ahead, Lockheed Martin, Marriott International, MasterCard, McDonald's, Microsoft, Intel, JP Morgan, Pfizer, Oracle, PayPal. PayPal cancels people. They go a little further in their wokeness. Now, Is this a serious danger to this company, or do they get involved seriously in stuff? Well, it turns out they're one of the major pushers of the whole COVID-19 horror story. At the start of COVID-19, they created something. And remember who we're talking about here, you know, AT&T, Amazon, Bank of America. I mean, it's all the top CEOs and presidents. No secretaries, no assistants. They created something called Move the Needle. How does that sound for a campaign slogan from all of our top executives? Move the Needle. So I'm going to read to you their answer to this big question. What is Move the Needle? It's the business community's efforts. That is all the top CEOs of the country. I haven't seen any left out. There may be some who don't bother with this thing, but with 181 signatures on going woke and joining the Great Reset. It's the business community's effort to support the rollout of COVID-19 vaccines, increase vaccine uptake, and encourage individuals to continue to wear masks and take other precautions as the vaccine effort is underway. And you'll notice there's nothing about early treatment. It's all wait for the vaccines. It's the whole plan that I describe in COVID-19 that goes back to Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, with a little help from Fauci a decade before setting up the vaccine, the decade of the vaccine, getting ready to put all their resources for 10 years into making sure that in the coming pandemic, which they had that certainty of, you don't do this kind of investing unless you have some certainty. We discussed that in the book and come to some interesting, difficult conclusions about it. But, they just want to make sure you know what they're talking about, so they summarize again. Together, we can all move the needle and defeat the pandemic. It's warfare, but it's really against us. It's warfare to humiliate us, weaken our democracy, knock the morale out of us. Together, we can all move the needle and defeat the pandemic by continuing to practice COVID-19 safety measures, including masking and social distancing, becoming vaccinated when eligible. Now, of course, these companies just love the idea of their more and more being able to push fraudulent products onto the market. I mean, even if they think they're not going to put fraudulent ones on, they certainly don't want all those restrictions. They certainly don't ever want to go through what they think the drug companies go through. Pfizer's one of these people on this. But in fact, the drug companies, it's a scam. I was writing about that 25, 30 or more years ago. The way they push drugs through, psychiatric drugs in particular. So we're looking at a situation that is, to say the least, horrific. We've uncovered another seriously large-scale organization of the global predators that we missed first time around. I haven't seen anybody else talking about it. Once again, and there's been surprisingly little coverage so far of Joe Biden's remarks. Now, is it a shock that Joe Biden, is he the first president to talk about a new world order? Some of you know. Some of you are educated enough, you know that's not even true. Now, he's talking about the business world order. But the senior Bush, who was a tremendous globalist, hence his friendship with Bubba, you remember him when he was our president, Bill and Hillary. Hence his friendship and his participation in some of their very corrupt foundation and stuff that happened in the Jamaican hurricane and stuff like that. So they're all globalists. So they get all involved in this stuff. They stay buddies regardless of each other's reputations. Bill Gates is is, you know, his buddies with anybody who comes along, including that pedophile who, not a pedophile, child abuser and rapist, organized child rapist who hung himself, supposedly. I'm sure they found a way to get rid of him. So the senior Bush addressed Congress and said, talked about whether America was going to be the policeman of the world. And he told Congress back in his day that whether you like it or not, and he kind of put it that way, talking to the senators and congressmen, there's a new world order coming and the UN is going to be policing the world. Imagine that. The most, one of the most corrupt organizations in the world represents the Chinese Communist Party far more than the United States. And he's advocating that we should let them police the world. That's going to mean even us, like we keep hearing hints about. Could be. I mean, he didn't say except for the U.S. That's George Bush. And let's go now and pull up the what Google has to say about the New World Order. I pulled it up on the very day that our marvelous Joe Biden managed to tell the CEOs of America that they had to go into the New World Order and lead the way on it. So take a look now and bring up, please, the have you got the document of where we Googled? Right. Oh, there we go. So here's New World Order. And what does it say about the New World Order? It says it's a conspiracy theory. So the president was announcing a conspiracy theory. Isn't that cool? This is amazing. And by the way, you ought to Google it, because the description they give of what the New World Order is very accurate. The elites organizing above governments and nations, conspiring, working together, and I would add in various empires. We're more and more getting into that. They're kind of working in overlapping empires. They are, they've got the military-industrial complex, of course, that Eisenhower spoke about so eloquently, which is, I don't know who's more powerful now. We have done the deep dive into the health empire, the healthcare empire. There's the banking empire. And to stay with me, we're going to be talking more and more and educating you more and more, because what's going on here in the world is so much more than you think. And it's all related to the global predators who shift around somewhat and they change somewhat. But they are there. And if you get our book, COVID-19, The Global Predators, you're going to be getting a book that's way beyond COVID, way beyond COVID. It gives you the predatory background of people. And we're going to give you an example of the use of this concept in the second segment, when we go to talk about the Ukraine and Putin and Zelensky and so on. I have an extra minute here or two, so I thought I'd follow up. I have told you that on January 24th this year, Tedros spoke to his WHO executive committee. This is the executive committee of the WHO, and which is a division of the UN. And he said that they're getting way beyond just wanting to run the world's preparation for pandemics. Our priority now is, quote, urgently to strengthen WHO as the leading and directing authority and global health, the directing authority at global health, at the center of the global health architecture. And in his specific goals, a stronger international health framework with WHO as the coordinating authority. And you'd think nobody in their right mind who was a sovereign nation would do this. But in our initial discoveries, we found that the entire EU was behind it. And then specifically, Great Britain, Germany, France, other companies chiming in. But what we've now discovered is that 2 days after this horrendous, gross announcement of creating basically a universal health care into a global nightmare run by WHO, which means, of course, lots more of communist China, lots more of Fauci, lots more of good old, well, all of them, Klaus Schwab, Bill, a whole bunch. Well, on January 26, our mission to the World Health Organization stated, the U.S. strongly supports the ongoing efforts to strengthen WHO. That was 2 days after we're in favor of this. So look out, folks. This healthcare empire is not letting go just because they're letting go of scaring us to death with COVID. It's not going away. We know that. Well, hello again. I'm almost breathless after our first segment. And the second one is going to be as interesting and stimulating, I hope, with our new look at what's going on in the Ukraine. I want a disclaimer at the beginning, shouldn't be necessary. Putin is a nasty, violent, hateful man who wants to build a Russian empire. He's undoubtedly responsible for untold murders while he was with the KGB, and God knows how many more people he has disappeared. He works with these oligarchs, makes them rich, they make him rich. He runs not a communist government, but a fascist government, a government that in many ways might be exactly what we would get under a great reset. But he's a patriot too. He's for strengthening Russia. That's his open statement. And I think that part of the reason why they wanted to link him with, to link Putin with Trump, which was a total fake, a total fraud, obvious from the beginning, now proven in multiple ways, was because these were the two men who were not joining the Great Reset. That is Klaus Schwab's version, and even Communist China's version. They were not going to join these assorted global predators, because he was going to reestablish on his own the Russian Empire and do it bit by bit and do his best to back off NATO and the United States of America. And that particular part of what involves a lot of global predators, a lot of global predators running America lately. That's not who we are as a people. The Russians aren't. You know, they're not bad people. Ukrainians aren't bad people. So we have this man, and he is not liked by the global predators. He's a thorn in the side of the global predators because he wants to not be at the mercy of the global bankers. He doesn't want to be told what to do by NATO, which is closely related to the global predators. And so he's going to put up a fight. And partly what we're seeing here is the global predators prodding him into making a very wrong-headed, probably in terms of his own interest, but we'll see, attack into the Ukraine. It's not like he didn't give a lot of warning. So one of the first things I want to do is talk to you about who is this guy Zelensky. Let's put up number five. And let's see if you recognize people here. Say, who's that on the right-hand side of the screen? That's that comedian who became a hero. We'll see about that, how much of a hero he is as we go along. And on his left, looking very serious, is no one other than Klaus Schwab. And in the background, you can see the World Economic Forum. Zelensky, his name is not with two Y's. I can't believe they did that at the forum. But there he is. And he was giving a very terrific speech in around 2019 or so. And he doffed his hat to all of the woke stuff. It's all veneers, veneer on being predators. And he doffed his hat a little bit on that. And then he talked about the security of the Ukraine in terms of Russia. Now, let's learn a little bit more about this man. Who do you think his Superman hero is? The man who so inspired him that he got into politics. Let's put up number six. To you, right? Well, you can see that little guy. He looks as short as me. And who's next to him? That's Trudeau. And underneath it, it confirms what I'm talking about, that Trudeau is deeply admired by him and inspired him, probably personally, because here they are together, to go into politics. They are both formal members of the Great Reset by being global, by being formal members of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum. So this is a man who's a bit more complicated than perhaps meets the eye. What about the Ukraine? Let's look a little bit at whether it was a corrupt place, whether its relationships with the USA were corrupt. Let's go to video number seven.
I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "No," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was 6 hours. I looked. I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a. Fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
Now, among other things, this indicates what a fool our current president is to talk about something like that on video, on extorting a sovereign nation. Remember, they impeached Trump for a phone call in which he did nothing like that. Nothing like that. And he was talking in a public venue with, you know, people from all over the world. He didn't threaten to extort anybody. So what was he extorting them about? What was he saying? What could it possibly be? Let's take a look at slide number 8. And that is the prosecutor that he got fired. And what he says here in the headline is Ukraine prosecutor that Biden got fired, said he was told to back off investigation. And this was the investigation of Hunter Biden's Burisma millions. He was put on the board of directors, got millions of dollars and a salary in the Ukraine. All this was very clear, and it became extremely clear just before the election, which would have ended even any hope of fixing the election, but they fixed it again by not reporting it in the New York Times, Washington Post, and the various places, LA Times, Chronicle, San Francisco, whatever, so that people who were more in the left, more liberal, could have heard about the criminality in this family and the email promises that the big guy would get 10%. That's emails to Biden's son, talking about his father, he's going to get 10% of all this. And by the way, I really am proud to say the election was fixed. And, You know what? It was fixed by the voting machines because I watched it that night. I was up and I saw Biden was way behind and Trump was winning and places he was never expected to win so big or maybe win at all. I went to bed and then I was restless. So I got up and I went back and I sit down. I'm looking at the talking heads and even the progressives are looking at each other and saying, what's going on here? We've had no data coming in from the three key states. They all stopped. It's been like 2 hours. And then, oh, here comes the data. Oh, my God. Thousands of votes for Biden pouring in. And there, look, where Trump was ahead, he's lost votes. And Biden's getting, I mean, it was so ridiculous. But let's suppose they didn't fix it that way. Was the election still fixed? Well, when the major media, the big elite, the people who are talking to a lot of independents, some genuine liberals who care about America, aren't told that the president of the United States wants to run for presidency, Joe Biden, has a corrupt relationship with communist China, and with the Ukraine and, other kinds of places around the world. And then when Trump is knocked off by the global predator technology people, when almost every big tech company takes his platform down, Amazon, YouTube, they all took his platforms down. Maybe you don't know that, folks, if you just happen to landed here by mistake. It's important for you to get this and stay. They took down our president's platforms, communicating to me. You might care, but communicating to me, to all of his constituents and to people on the fence and to the world. And then he got another platform up in a hurry, and they managed to pull the rug from underneath that as well. Is that not fixing an election? And anybody who saw that should have been ready to expect they would go to the extreme of fixing the ballot box if they were still losing. They were not going to lose. They were going to have a coup if they didn't get the vote, and they did that. Now, I want to go to the issue of corruption in the Ukraine. A wonderful, wonderful human being, Candace Owens. I hope you've seen her. She's a young, powerful woman. Everybody has to always say she's a Black American. That's because there aren't supposed to be any Black Americans who are for freedom and independence and God and things like that, or patriotism. But anyway, wonderful Candace Owen, who just deserves to be described as just one of the top women in the world, period. She got challenged by some New York Times fact checkers when she talked about the corruption in the New York Times. The corruption in the Ukraine. And the fact checkers were from the New York Times. So Candace went ahead and tells a story about how she sent the fact checker all the New York Times stories about how corrupt it was. Now, of course, it's not woke. You can't do that. You can't do that. So I just wanted to go and look myself, and I looked up New York Times and corruption stories, and February 19th, 2018, and there's an article about how the Ukraine has lived for decades in a state of total corruption. And then there's a May 3rd, I'm going in chronological order to nearer the present, May 3rd, New York Times article about the U.S. sanctioning a Ukrainian oligarch. Then I went to February 21st, 2022, and what do they say about their darling Zelensky. They basically make him into a scandal of corruption. Here's what the note about him says. There's summary description, Zelensky. February 21st, 2000. That doesn't, my God, that's amazing. Scandals and tolerance for corruption have chipped away at Mr. Zelensky's popularity. 62% of Ukrainians don't want him to run for re-election, and if an election were held today, they wouldn't vote for him. And then, just to show you what the New York Times is like, what this elite. I mean, they were talking elite in the Civil War, the New York Times. They were labeling as conspiracy theories ideas that challenged the elite. In the Civil War, they used the first time we know about it, the idea of a conspiracy theory against some people who were saying that there were British elite, literally elite, who wanted the South to win. And of course that was true. It would be under any circumstances, but of course they didn't. They wanted a weakened America, just like the globalists, and they, you know, they were an empire. They didn't want America horning in on them. And the New York Times called that a conspiracy theory. That's the first one I've been able to find. Well, what they do in March 9th, 2022, is they now make fun of the Republicans for saying that this corruption in the Ukraine. Acting like there's no corruption in the Ukraine. So they're making fun of the Ukraine for the New York Times is making fun. I've got to get it straight for you. The New York Times is making fun of Republicans who are saying, who are, you know, worshiping the Ukraine as if they didn't also at one point just know all about the corruption and then go on to worship the Ukraine. So what are we looking at here? We're looking at the global predators. And what did they do? Well, what do they want? They want to make vast wealth, whether it's with vaccines. They want to get great power by shutting down democracies, shutting down Donald Trump. They get more power by shutting down Putin, or they love having him there because it feeds the military-industrial complex. And there is no doubt that they purposely stirred up Russia, talked about NATO, Ukraine bordering on them, that would mean just another literal enemy on their border. And also they have a lot of Ukrainians speaking Russian and they want to join Russia. Then they've got two contested states where apparently there's been some firing of guns from the Ukraine into the contested states. So you've got this really complicated situation, and the NATO is basically stirring it up. And then the U.S., and this is fact, I've really fact-checked this one. I know a lot about labs and biological warfare. We funded multiple labs, including two on the border that make biological pathogens, viruses. You can't then claim, but it's purely for research or defensiveness. You're making weapons. The U.S. does it, the Chinese do it, and now we're doing it on their border. Is it any wonder that they wanted to seize those areas? I don't think there's any great wonder about it. So you've got this military-industrial complex. It doesn't defend them enough to stop a war. But then they love the war, because once it gets going and there's more resistance than anybody expected, I'm pouring billions and billions and billions of dollars into the Ukraine. A great waste? No, it fuels the globalist agenda of power and money. In fact, there was lobbying to get going, you know, from the military-industrial complex. What do you think those people do? Sit around saying, don't go to war, don't go to war? Of course not. The military-industrial complex was actually, I'm just learning more and more about it and looking at banking, they were funding both sides in World War II. some of our major corporations. I'm not going to get into it today, but you'll be here learning more about these things. That's what they do. They love a war. There's no war, who are they? I mean, how can you go duck hunting if there are no ducks? How can you shoot ducks if there are no ducks? And make guns and do all those other things. So who's benefiting from all of this? Putin, maybe, I don't think so. I think he's getting more sanctions than he expected. He's got a tougher time invading. All this remains to be seen. You cannot predict wars, especially with multiple people involved, atomic weapons involved. The Ukrainians, oh God, no. The Russian people, oh Lord, no. People anywhere in the world, no, they're not benefiting. Zelensky is benefiting. This corrupt politician whom they didn't want to vote for again before all this started is now a hero of the globalists. Remember who he pals with, Klaus Schwab, Trudeau. He's a hero. Doesn't even matter whether they lose as long as he can get out and still be a hero. I'll make a wild prediction he won't be killed in combat. Wild prediction. Doesn't seem like the kind of guy. See Trudeau getting killed in combat? I don't think so. And of course, one of the biggest losers of all, you and me, because who pays for NATO? Who pays for the huge amount of money being spent on arms? And by the way, do you think that Biden's exit from Afghanistan was a disaster? No, he left all that equipment behind so we can have more wars and all of it has to be replaced. I mean, the whole industrial complex had to go into the Pentagon and say, look, we got to replace this, but we got to make better stuff so we'll still be ahead of them in the next war. Don't be so naive that you don't think this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. I am not naturally a person who thinks this way. Dwight Eisenhower was absolutely correct in his 1961 farewell speech when he warned about the conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state, every house, every office of the federal government. We have to really be learning about these empires. Don't back off because they're going to let you walk around without a mask or get a little closer in public. Folks, America and the world, freedom-loving people, we have a major, major fight on our hands against the global predators. Join us. Join together. Refound America and the world. Thank you.